Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
This is Chinook Echoes. I'm Deborah Niedermeyer with a continuation of a lecture given by anthropologist Dick Nelson last spring. The title is Eyes of the Forest, and the theme explores how Koyukon Athabascan Indians perceive the natural world, and how different that vision is from what we're used to in Western culture. Nelson says the Koyukon have a knowledge of nature that is almost beyond comprehension.
This is knowledge that is born from the world beyond the senses. Because for the Koyukon people, and when I say the Koyukon people here, this generalization is to include the majority of adult Koyukon people in the ages of, say, from 35 on up, who adhere to this traditional worldview. In other words, I'm not talking about the younger generation whose adherence is somewhat in question. For the Koyukon people, the natural world entails dimensions that are absolutely unknown in our own culture. The everyday functioning of nature is far different than we understand it. The environment is founded on different principles. And the interactions between humans and nature are governed by a code of behavior unlike anything that we know in our culture and in our own lives. The Koyukon wisdom regarding nature was once summed up very succinctly for me by one of my elder teachers when he said, "Every animal knows way more than you do." In Koyukon culture, nature is more than a sustaining source of life and a focus for the practical activities of subsistence. A person moving through nature, however wild and remote the place might be, is never truly alone. The surroundings of the boreal forest are ever aware. The surroundings are sensate and personified. They feel. They can be offended. And that is very important. And so they must at every moment be treated with the utmost of proper respect. All things in nature, you see, in the Koyukon view, have a special kind of life. It's something powerful. And something that we can stumble toward best in English by calling a spirit. Interestingly, in the Koyukon world, in the Koyukon language, for most of the spirits, there's no word at all. I keep drilling at these people. I say, come on, there's a word. No, there's no word. For most spirits, only for certain ones, is there a spirit, is there a name at all. The spiritual dimension of nature for the Koyukon people is indivisible from its material dimension. So that the natural and the supernatural are two elements making up a single thing. Okay? The environment is both sacred and secular in its fundamental makeup. The natural world is not governed by God. It is God. Not in the sense of with the capital G, right? In other words, it isn't the supernatural that governs nature. It's nature that is the supernatural. However different this conception of nature might be from our own, it is an absolute reality for the Koyukon people. And you remember how I described who the Koyukon people are now. The ones who have learned the tradition It has the same depth and power as the very different reality that we possess has for ourselves. And this is the reason I sort of accentuate this a little bit is because I was so astonished by it. By the fact that this stuff is real. It's as real as the chair that you're sitting on. It's just that you can't learn it with your senses. Okay, let's go back to the guy hunting bears at the den to see a little bit about how it's manifested. Having found his prey at the den, the ideology comes alive for this person. He knows, first of all, that a great power has revealed itself to him, because the bear is one of the most spiritually powerful beings in the boreal forest. No one finds a bear just by accident. Because in the Koyukon world, things from nature are given or withheld, not found or gone undiscovered. And there's a critical difference in those terms. Natural events in the Koyukon world seldom happen purely by chance, as they do in our own Western conception. Success in the hunt or in fishing or in any subsistence thing is based on the hunter's personal history of scrupulous respect toward the animal in question. From this, he either keeps or is given his measure of luck. And I think you better put a capital L on that. Luck for the Koyukon people is an almost tangible thing, an aura that surrounds a person for each kind of thing that the person is involved with, each kind of animal, each kind of plant, each activity even. You have luck. It's almost like you could haul it around in a bushel basket. You know, it's there or it's gone. And without it, you're in big trouble. You might as well apply for food stamps. If you're lucky, you'll get them. Koyukon people express luck in the hunt by saying, "Bekoch natton." And that translates, perhaps figuratively, but its meaning is, something took care of him or her. Or as a woman told me, to quote her, if a person has good luck, catches game, it is because something created the world, and that is helping him to get what he needs. So the bear hunter, confronting this particular power, has to follow the rules of etiquette that are designed through Koyukon tradition for this species. For example, if he kills the bear, the hunter should only use a rope to pull it from its den, not a chain. Should pull the bear from the den by hand, not with a snow machine, because metal and machines and motors are offensive to the overarching and overseeing spirit of this animal. After he pulls the bear out, he has to butcher the animal on the spot, right there, not somewhere else, don't haul it anywhere else, there, at its place. And the first thing that he does, if he's clever and careful, is to slit the bear's eyes before he does any other butchering, because that way it won't see if he breaks any other rules, right? Another thing to do, for example, is there's a whole thing of the butchering pattern of the animal. Take off the feet first. The spirit will be less likely to wander. Keep the fresh meat absolutely away from women, because women in the Koyukon world have greater power than men. A kind of power that is sort of like the opposite, like putting, the same poles of a magnet together? A power that can alienate animals. It's not a bad or an evil power, it's a great power. Okay? And so fresh meat has to be kept away from women when it's a bear or some certain other animals that are very powerful. And when he returns home, the successful hunter will say nothing of where he went or what happened. In fact, he might even take pains to clean off his axe if he's been digging in the dirt around the bear den so nobody could see what he'd been doing. Later on that evening, he might say, "I found something in a hole." Or he might say, If it was before the trapping season, when it couldn't possibly be any other animal, he might say, I found something to make a parka rough. And by circumlocuting in this way, the hunter shows the magnitude of his respect for the animal. Speaking more directly of this animal would be a breach of respect and could bring really severe bad luck on the hunter or his family. A woman will never, if she adheres properly to tradition, will never say the name of the black bear in Koyukon. She'll refer to it as black thing or some sort of circumlocution like that. In the case of the brown bear, she will say, oftentimes just say aga, which means animal. The generic term being enough to indicate when you're talking about animal, this is the ultimate animal, so people know what you're talking about. Spirituality is like an invisible luminescence that surrounds a creature and its non-living remains. This power fades slowly after the death of an animal. It doesn't just disappear like that. It goes out very slowly. And slowest from the most powerful animals. And so complete death comes well after the animal has been killed in the sense that we know it. Complete death for animals like the brown bear takes years. And for animals with less power, it happens fairly quickly. So anyway, the bear meat, for example, has to be treated in special ways for some time after the animal is killed. Keep it absolutely away from dogs, scavengers, things like ravens, wolverines. Certain parts of the animal can't be eaten by women or children or young men. Certain parts can only be eaten by old men or old women. The hide of the brown bear, with all this life that fills it, is perhaps the most powerful part of it, other than parts that are unthinkably powerful, like the bear's head. And so it must be kept absolutely away from contact with women for a long time. A Koyukon woman told me of going into someone's house, white people's house, where they had a brown bear rug on the floor, and she said she was so absolutely uncomfortable she was completely beside herself. Just did not know what to do. And finally she said, and this is very much sort of outside the realm of what would be polite, finally she said, the people saw that she was so uncomfortable. They said, well, what's the matter? And she had to explain to them that she just was absolutely couldn't handle being by this bear hide because of its power and because of the danger of her being too close to it. This kind of spirituality manifests itself in every boreal forest animal. Some of the plants and some elements of the physical world. Spirituality is all around at all times in most things. Some spirits, as I mentioned to you, are extremely powerful and some are less powerful. Violations against any of these spirits, disrespectful behavior toward them, can bring bad luck, such as bad luck in hunting or bad luck in your life, can bring illness, and in certain cases can even bring death when you're dealing with a very powerful animal. Powerful animals being the brown bear, the black bear, wolverine, wolf, lynx, and otter particularly, also to a lesser degree the beaver and the marmot are the most, this is the group of the most powerful animals. But mistreatment or disrespect for any creature can alienate its spirit. Even a vole or a ruby-crowned kinglet is a power to be recognized in the boreal forest. As one old man said to me, there's always something in the air that watches us.
That was the second part of Dick Nelson's lecture, given last spring, on the Koyukon Athabascan view of the natural world. This is a four-part series. Next time, more about how to deal with the spiritual world of nature. For Chinook, I'm Deborah Niedermeyer, and this has been a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.